This is Central Time. Now, take a listen to this. All right, now that sound a little like your that might sound a little like your cat, right? Well, it's the sound of our next guest petting a cheetah. Cheetahs, pumas, lynxes, and some other big cats purr, just like house cats, a little deeper as you heard there. But other big cats like lion and tigers apparently can't purr. We're talking about purring now and the many other mysteries of cat communication. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you communicate with your cat in some way? Do you know from the purrs, the meows it makes, what it's trying to tell you? Do you need some context to figure it out? An empty food dish, say? Do you have questions about the sounds that cats, house cats or bigger ones, make? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Eklund is a phonetician and linguist at Linköping University in Sweden. He's an expert on felines and feline vocalizations, among other things. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, you study purring and lots of other sounds that our feline friends and feline wildlife make. Can you just tell us some of your work? What do you do in the lab or out in the field?
It's actually a long story, which has sort of, and it started with one thing, which led to another thing, which led to this. I'm basically a linguist, and I was a speech technologist for 18 years, and I worked trying to get computers to understand human beings. So I studied a lot of conversations between people. I noticed that people speaking to other people started to speak on ingressive speech, like when you speak on inhalation. I read up on that, and that became a pet project of mine. And then I realized that purring is done 50% on inhalation. So 50% of purring is exhaling, and 50% is inhaling. And that's sort of the trademark definition of purring. And I started to, being a cat person myself, I started to read up on the literature and found that you can find easily hundreds of books on cats, and both felines, which is small cats, and felids, which are the bigger cats. And what astonished me as a phonetician linguist was that everything is sort of written down about cats. People have lived with cats for 10,000 years, perhaps, and about half of all the 37 or 40 different cats there are, about half of them have been used as tame, as pet cats, not fully domesticated, but for other reasons. And still, nothing was written down about how purring is done. Nobody knows how cats do purr. So at the time, and my girlfriend went down to Africa to work as volunteers in cheetah breeding places and places where they try to save those animals. And the second time we went down there, I wrote ahead and said, I'm a linguist phonetician. Would it be okay if I bring professional recording equipment, do some footage, analyze it acoustically, phonetically, and write a paper on it? And the people in the South Africa, the Del Cheetah Center, they love the idea, because the more they know about what the cats are saying, the better they can treat them, of course. It's like good husbandry. So sort of half tongue in cheek, I analyzed a huge cheetah, the big purring cheetah, Kane, you can find on YouTube. It was a huge cheetah, the kindest cat I've ever met. And then I recorded my girlfriend's little domestic cat, which was very small, female cat. And I did what I normally do with human beings. I analyzed the sound acoustically and phonetically and compared it, and wrote a paper for the annual Swedish Phonetics Conference in Sweden in 2010. And I heard on the grapevine that the organizers, professional phoneticians, thought that, okay, Robert has blown all its fuses. This can't be serious. And so I gave a short talk. It's like 12 minutes and 3 minutes for questions. And the organizer then and there was Susanne Schwartz, who is a crazy cat lady, or at least cat lady. And she listened to my 12 minutes talking, went home to record her five cats, and have recorded cats every day ever since, basically. So, I mainly dealt with cheetahs and lions and the bigger cats, and because I'm allergic to cats, by the way. And we started to... hook up and wrote some papers together. And after a while, a couple of years, she said, let's get funding for this. This is so interesting, a general interest. Everyone has a cat. Everybody loves cats, except dog people, strange ones. And a couple of years later, we started to apply for professional funding, and we got it. So as of 2016, we have had this project where we got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to study human-cat interaction and communication. It's called MeowSick, and we have recorded cats at three different locations in Sweden, and we are just writing up the first official real scientific journal papers on this. We have published a lot of sort of less formal papers over the years.
So
and that focus, that project, as the name suggest, MeowSick focuses on vocalizations, sort of voiced vocalizations. Purring is not really voiced. It's done with the vocal folds, but it doesn't really count as a melodic sound, of course.
So the assumption is, I think for a lot of people, if a cat's purring, it's happy. And while I'm watching you pet this cheetah, I hope it's purring because it's happy, but not always. Yeah, purring can mean different things.
Actually, and that's interesting, because that's one thing you find in the literature on cats, is that domestic cats don't exclusively purr when they are happy. They purr when they are giving birth, when they are in pain, when they are about to die. Whereas I've asked loads of people who have worked with cheetahs for decades, and they can only attest to cheetahs purring for being happy and content with things as they are. So the question then is, what is purring about? And the thing is that all sort of signaling done by animals is done to signal something to the external world.
We're talking about purring and other cat language. Our guest is Robert Eklund, linguist and phonetician at Linköping University, expert in feline communication. We'll pick up that conversation, and you can join in with your questions about cat communication at 800-642-1234. When does your cat purr? Have you noticed any patterns? Do you have questions? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about feline language with Robert Eklund, linguist and phonetician at Linköping University in Sweden, expert in feline communication, studying why cats purr, how they purr, what it means when they meow as well. Robert, you were talking about language from animals has a variety of purposes, scaring someone, communicating, and purring can be a lot of different things. Now, how about going beyond purring to meowing from our house cats? What kind of a range of communication are we getting from them there?
Meows are really expressive signals that you can modulate them a lot. It's like singing. You can sing different tones. You can sing strong tones. You can change a tone. And cats do the same thing when they meow. And my colleagues at Lund University, Susanne Schwetz and Joost van der Weijer, they have actually done playback experiments. They have recorded cats in different situations. They played back the sound files to people and asked them to tell them whether can they tell what kind of mental state that cat is in. And so, for example, you have cats just being fed their favorite goodies, or cats waiting in the veterinarian's office and stuff like that. And the meows produced in these different two settings are very different from each other. And most people can easily tell whether this meowing cat is a happy cat or if this meowing cat is a not so happy cat. So we've lived together for 10,000 years, and so it's not strange that we have sort of learned how to interpret each other. The other thing is that adult cats rarely meow to each other. Meowing is something cats do to human beings. And a professor I knew, he called meowing some kind of pidgin language between cats and human beings for that reason. Young kittens meow to their mothers and who meow back, but adult cats really meow to each other. It's something they do to human beings. And the interesting thing here is that human hearing is very sensitive at that frequency, i.e. pitch. Our ears hear sounds produced at that frequency very well. And cats have obviously noticed that and take advantage of it.
Yeah, as somebody who has had cats in my life and babies in the house in my life, after having babies around, I was very attuned to those pitches. So what, are cats sort of manipulating that human parental instinct there?
I'm quite sure that cats are manipulating us all the time. And there's even this theory, if you've heard about the parasite Toxoplasma, which sort of lives its entire cycle only in cat stomachs. And a huge proportion of the human population is affected by that. Most people never notice, but it's actually quite dangerous. It lies behind people dying from AIDS, et cetera, as an underlying reason. And the funny thing about, well, that didn't sound very funny, but the funny thing about Toxoplasma is that it makes you love cats. So there is a book, The Lying in the Living Room, which I recommend, where the author asks some serious researchers that, is it the case that cats deliberately poison us to make us love them? No. And it's not as far out as it seems. Like if you have laboratory mice, have never seen a real cat ever, or even haven't seen a cat for generations, they instinctively fear cats unless you inject toxoplasma in them when they basically just walk into the cat's mouth.
So, wow.
So cats are surely manipulating us. Several people say that cats aren't really fully domesticated the way dogs are. Mm-hmm. Cats still are sort of wild animals, but they are lazy and they take advantage of us loving them.
And one more thing I wanted to ask about before we let you go. You mentioned many felines, domestic cats and big cats, purr, but many don't. A lot of them roar. And do I have it right? There's none that roar and purr?
Actually, already in the 1830s, it was sort of observed that the big cats, lion, tigers, jaguars, and leopards, they roar but can't purr. All the smaller cats than that can purr but not roar. When the jury's still out on the snow leopard, it surely doesn't roar, but if it purrs, it purrs poorly. And the funny thing is that we still don't know exactly how cats what they do when they purr. And it's really, really strange, I think, that we've been together for 10,000 years, we've been researching cats for a couple of hundred years, and we're still not quite certain how cats actually do purr. What are the physiological mechanisms? We aren't sure. There are a few theories. Some are dead wrong, that's for sure. Some are plausible, but they are not completely proven yet.
Robert, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and have a nice cat life.
You too. That's Robert Eklund, phonetician and linguist at Linköping University in Sweden. He's an expert on felines and feline vocalizations. Coming up, it's Food Friday. We'll take some of the mystery out of French baking with delicious but easy-to-make cakes. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in. That's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Just about 35 minutes left in this hour, and Rob, we're now looking for one more person to join in to meet our goal of 10 gifts this hour. A big thanks to everyone who's given already.
Hey, Dean, you know what this is right now?
What is it?
It is the perfect time to make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been waiting for this all day. This is really the peak, right, of my public radio career.
No better time.
Nowhere to go but down from there. But it is a great time to give. You could put us over the top already in this goal for the hour. It's the last weekday of the drive, last chance to give during Central Time. Don't pause. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Did you get it, Dean? I said pause.
I got you, Rob. Yeah.
You know who has pause?
It took me a couple seconds, but yeah, I picked up on that. sticking with the theme, in that last segment, we learned some really interesting stuff about cats and why they purr, why they meow. We talked with one of the very few people in the entire world that studies this stuff. But hey, so many of us have cats. So many of us kind of think about what our cat is trying to say to us? Well, we learned some things about it. It's the kind of conversation that you can take to the dinner table, that you can share with your friends next time you see them. We talk about a lot of serious things on Central Time, but we get some of this quirky, interesting stuff too. You can count on it every day here on the Ideas Network.
Make your gift right meow at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Choose the amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And become a sustainer while you're at it. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or credit card. It'll continue for as long as you like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and flexible, too. Get started now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A reminder that we're closing in on that goal for this hour, looking for one more person to join in, be that one person to get us to that goal, and help us push over the top as well. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Show off your love for public radio and for Wisconsin while you run errands, headed to work, or carry library books. Today, only ask for the new WPR tote bag when you give $5 a month for the WPR news and entertainment you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustainer making those ongoing monthly gifts, a big thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, or whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us go out to the news with Aurora here. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.